Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to Hot Topics, where today, as you can see on the screen behind me, oh yeah, we will be talking about a hot topic. The topic of predestination. In fact, we may even go so far to talk about a subtopic within the doctrine of predestination, this subtopic of, ready, double predestination. So we're going out in the deep waters today, right? But really, we're not. I mean, the doctrine of predestination is throughout the scriptures. You cannot get around this idea of predestination where God predestines, chooses, elects those he will save. Can't get around it. In fact, just right here in Romans 8, I'll just give you one example. We see in verse 29, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined them unto salvation. Why? What's the goal? To become conformed to the image of his son. So here in Scripture, we see it very clearly. Oh, by the way, Scripture that's inspired by God the Holy Spirit. So obviously, God the Holy Spirit wants his people to understand this idea of predestination. It is inspired in the Scriptures, so we can't avoid it. And so we see here that those whom God foreknew, actually in the Greek, it's a stronger term. It literally means foreloved. It's a term of intimacy, a love like Adam knew his wife and they had a child. That type of intimacy, this love. And so for those whom God foreloved, he predestined. Why? To become conformed into the image and likeness of Christ. And so our goal here on earth, in the power of the Spirit, we who have been predestined unto salvation, our goal down here on earth is to become more and more like Christ. Now, again, that has to happen in the power of the Spirit, and we won't reach that goal here on earth because we still have a sin nature. But on that day when we're standing before Christ, we will be in the image and likeness of Christ. We won't be Christ, but we'll be in the image and likeness of Christ. Why? That's why God predestined you, right? To become like Christ, to bring glory to Christ. And so, Scripture is clear. God predestines, chooses, elects a people for himself, whom he foreloved, to be saved. Now, here's the question. Because again, you can't get around the word predestination. Here's the question. Why? Why did God predestine some unto salvation? Well, there are two major views. One of the views is called conditional election. In other words, God, who is all-knowing, looked down the corridor of time, and he knew that, for instance, I would turn around and choose God, that I would first love God, and as a result of that condition, God, before the foundation of time, chose me. Make sense? So God chose me, this view says, based on the condition that God knew that I would first choose him. That's one view. The other view is called unconditional election. God, knowing everything about me, looking down the corridor of time, knew I would never love him first and never would choose him first. And yet, in spite of that, based on no condition of me, God unconditionally predestined me, chose me, elected. So you see the two views? Conditional election, unconditional election. Conditional election, by the way, is the most popular, most taught view in evangelical churches today. And why is that taught? Well, one of the main reasons is it kind of gets God off the hook, doesn't it? Right? You know, it puts man first. It's kind of like, well, you know, why didn't God choose everybody? Well, because God knew that not everybody would choose him. And so God can't be blamed for those whom he chose, because based on the condition that they would first choose God, that's why he chose them. You see how it kind of gets God off the hook? Explaining, quote unquote, why not everybody is chosen. But friends, God doesn't need us to get him off the hook. Scripture is very clear, as opposed to the popular view that God conditionally elects his people. We're not interested in the popular view, we're interested in the biblical view. And the biblical view is extremely clear. God did not choose you, Christian, because he thought you would first love him and first choose him. No, God chose you in spite of the fact that he knew you would never love him and never choose him, because you couldn't. What do I mean? Again, Romans 8, let's just stay right here in the context. The Apostle Paul, verses 5 through 8, makes it very clear. He says, he contrasts two people. People who are dominated or led by the sin nature. Those are non-believers, right? The Holy Spirit's not in them. Versus people who are regenerated, saved, and the Holy Spirit is in them. He contrasts the two people. He says, verse 5, for those who are according to the flesh, non-believer, Holy Spirit's not in them, they're led and dominated, controlled by their sin nature. He says, those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, satisfying their sin nature. Well, that makes sense, right? We used to be like that before God and his grace saved us, right? And then he says, but those who are according to the Spirit, right? Those who are regenerated, those who are alive, who are in God's family, those who are saved, God the Holy Spirit is in them, what do? Well, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. God's truth, worshiping God's name, serving for God's glory. We set our minds on the things of the Spirit. Why? Because we are alive by God's grace in the spiritual realm. We used to be dead. We were only alive in the physical realm. Therefore, because we were controlled by our sin nature, our minds were set on the things to satisfy our sin nature. But now, because you are saved, Christian, you're alive in the spiritual realm, you set your minds on the things of pleasing God, living for God, right? He goes on to say, for the mind set on the flesh, the sin nature, non-believer, is death. Well, that makes sense, right? Eternal damnation. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Well, that makes sense. Here we go. Verse 7. Because the mind, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God.
Wait a second.
Huh. In other words, what Scripture is saying is, God predestined me, not because he looked down the corridor of time and saw that I would first love, turn to him and first love him and first choose him. No, God knew I wouldn't. God knew I'd be hostile to him, like every non-believer is. Huh, let's keep going. The mindset on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. For instance, the call to salvation is a command, right? Repent. It's a command. Put your faith in Christ. That's a command. But here's the problem. An unregenerated person is not only hostile to God, that unregenerated person will not subject him or herself to the commands of God, because he and she cannot do so. Huh. Wow, I'm starting to see something here. Why did God predestine me? Well, let's see. Was it because the condition that he thought I would turn to him, love him, and choose him? Well, wait a second, Scripture says, God knew I would be hostile to him. God knew that I would not submit to his command, nor could I. Let's keep going. Verse 8, Paul concludes this theme where he says, those who are in the flesh, non-believer, unregenerated person, cannot please God. Huh. So God looked down a corridor of time and he saw me, unregenerated Andrew, that I was hostile to him. I would not submit to his commands. I could not submit to his commands. And there was no way that I could please God. So then why did God predestine me? Not because of me. In spite of me and you. It was based on no condition. It was all of God's grace. That's why we sing Amazing Grace, right? And in chapter 9, again, let's just stay in our context. By the way, I could take you from one end of the Bible to the other and talk about predestination. This could get dangerous. But anyway, let's just stay in Romans 9. Paul talks about this. Starting in verse 6, the question he anticipated as he was writing to the church in Rome was, well, wait a second, what happened to the Jews? God is starting to say Gentiles. What about the Jews? Did basically God's plan for the Jews, for Israel, did it fail? And Paul says, it's not as though, verse 6 of chapter 9, that the word of God has failed. No, no, no. God's word never fails. Never returns void, right? Isaiah 55. But Paul said, they are not all Israel who are descended from Israel. In other words, physical descendants of Israel doesn't make them, doesn't give them a free ticket to get to heaven. Nor are they all children because they are Abraham's descendants. Here we go. But then he starts to quote Old Testament promises. God said, it is through Isaac that your descendants will be named. Wait a second. How many sons did Abraham have at the beginning while Sarah was still alive? Two. Who was the older one? Ishmael. Not through Sarah, but through Sarah's maidservant Hagar. He wasn't the child of promise, though Abraham had tried to help God out in fulfilling the promise. He got a little impatient, right? No. God fulfilled his promise. The promise was through the younger one, through Sarah, the son of the free woman. His name was Isaac. That's interesting. Not Ishmael. God didn't choose Ishmael. God chose Isaac. Huh. That's election, isn't it? Let's keep going. Verse 8, he says, that is, it's not the children of the flesh who are children of God. In other words, again, Israel doesn't get a free pass here. It's not like everybody, just because they claim that they're descendants of Abraham, that they get a free pass. Because he says, well, wait a second. It's only through Isaac, not through Ishmael. He says, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants. And then Paul goes on to describe the promise. For this is the word of the promise. God had said, at this time I will come. He had said this to Abraham. And Sarah shall have a son, the child of promise, Isaac. Well, eventually Isaac grew up, married a woman by the name of Rebekah. They had twins. Let's see what happened with them. Verse 10, not only this, but there was Rebekah, Isaac's wife, when she had conceived twins by Isaac. For though the twins, Esau the older, Jacob the younger, for though the twins were not yet born and had done nothing good or bad, but so that God's purpose, according to his choice, would stand, not because of works, but because of him, God, who calls by his sovereign grace to salvation. It was said to Rebekah, the older Esau will serve the younger. God chose Jacob, not Esau, for salvation. Just as written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Paul anticipated there'd be some complaints here. Like some of you listening to this are going, wait a second, you have 1,000 questions running through your mind right now, right? So I don't presume to think that I'm going to be able to answer all your questions on predestination just on this little short teaching. But I would encourage you to start reading about this because it's all over Scripture. And you want to look at the totality of Scripture, what God, through his Spirit, says on this topic. But Paul anticipated people's objection. He said, well, their objection that they would say, well, wait a second, well, what shall we say then? Is there injustice in God? In other words, that doesn't seem pretty fair. I mean, why would God, choose Isaac, not Ishmael? Why would God choose Jacob and not Esau? Why would God choose me and not somebody else? And blah, blah, blah. God's unjust, is he? Paul says, oh, may it never be. For he says to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It's God's call, not ours. So then, it does not depend on man. Salvation. There's no condition whereby God says, okay, I'll choose you. It does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but God who has mercy. Stop there. A lot of people, when they hear the doctrine of predestination, that God doesn't choose everybody, their first response is, well, that's not fair, right? Well, wait a second. Where in the Bible does it say God is fair? I'll give you a hint. Nowhere. God is not fair. God is just. And nobody, not one of those who are not predestined to salvation, not one of them, will be able to claim, well, this is not just. No, we all justly deserve damnation because we are all sinners in God's sight, right? So listen, you don't want God to be quote unquote fair, because if God gave us what we deserve, guess what? We all go to hell. And none of us would ever be able to say, well, that's not fair. That's unjust. No. God predestines some. That's his mercy. Not that he's not fair. That's his mercy. And he says, by the way, can I not have mercy on whom I want to have mercy? Compassion on whom I want to have compassion. Let's say you're the creator. You're the sustainer. You're the ruler. Let's say you're the redeemer. You sent your son to die for the elect. Whoa, I guess you do have the right, huh, God? Yeah. And so, the fact that God saves one person is mercy that is unmerited. It is mercy that is so marvelous. No one can boast and say, well, look how great I am. That's why God chose me. He chose me based on the condition. He knew I would be strong enough to pull myself up by my bootstraps and holy enough and godly enough to choose God. No. Christian, you're a recipient of God's mercy. Not giving to you what you deserve. You're a recipient of God's grace. Him giving to you what you don't deserve. And by the way, God's justice was still meted out. But he chose not to mete out his just justice on you. Instead, he raised up a substitute. Well, I don't know. Who's that? His beloved son. Who not only fulfilled all righteousness for you in your place, he also went to the cross. And as he hung there, God in his love for you, Christian, instead of punishing you and me with punishment we deserve, he instead put our sins on Christ. And he punished him in our place. God's justice was meted out. But Christian, not on you, even though you deserve it. It was meted out on his beloved son, who was there in your place. If anybody should say, well, that's not fair, how about Christ? But that was part of the plan, right? He said, I lay down my life for everybody, no, for my sheep. And as he hung there, your sins were placed on Christ. He was punished with God's wrath that you and I deserve. God, Christ was punished with it for that wrath. He died the death you deserve. But 3 days later, he rose in victory, overcame sin and death for you, Christian. And God, the Holy Spirit, in his grace, knowing that you had been chosen before the foundation of time, knowing you had been redeemed at the cross 2,000 years ago, God the Holy Spirit came and regenerated you. You were dead. He made you alive. You were blind. Suddenly you could see. He gave you the gift of faith to be able to repent of your sins, to beat your breast and say, oh, am I a wretched sinner? And to turn and trust in Christ by faith alone. Saying, Jesus, please be merciful to me, the sinner. That is all the work of God. That's why God gets all the glory. Think about it. You know how we are as humans. We like to exalt ourselves, right? We like to be filled with pride and take credit for things. Well, that teaching that says that God chooses, elects, predestines, based on the condition that God knew that you would first turn around and love him, you would first turn around and choose him. That's why God predestined. Well, think about that teaching. Who gets a share in some of the credit? You do, right? You can't sing Amazing Grace because it's really not that amazing. Because look what you did. You were good enough. There was enough spark of goodness in you, according to that teaching, that you were able to make the right decision. Great job. Look how good you are. God says, I will not share my glory with anyone. That's why unconditional election is the biblical definition of predestination. Because God chose you, Christian, before you had done anything good or bad, knowing you could do nothing good, in other words, to please God, because you were hostile, you would be hostile to God, you would not submit to His law, you could not submit to His law, yet in spite of you, Christian, God foreloved you. Recently we had a group of singles come to our house. Danielle wanted to host them, and it was a great time, food, fellowship. And then they gathered around, and they said, "Pastor Andrew, would you mind if we ask some questions?" We had our Bibles out, and, you know, I thought, okay, they're going to, you know, be asking me questions about, you know, how long do I have to stay patient before God brings me a mate in marriage, and, you know, things like that. And I was blown away. You know what they asked me about? This topic right here, predestination. We sat there for, I don't know, three and a half hours talking about this, going all over the scriptures. And you know what? As I started to teach them this and say, think about it. If you know that God chose you because you first chose Him, you start to share in some of the credit, right? But if you know that God chose you with no condition on your part, not because you, but in spite of you, God foreloved you. And when I said that, you could have heard a pin drop. Because prior to that, they were just firing all kinds of questions at me. You could have heard a pin drop, and you just started to see people's eyes welling up with tears. I said to them, how does that make you feel? That God unconditionally elected you. And everybody started saying, humble. Grateful. I mean, this is amazing. Wow. Who am I that God would love me that way? Exactly. God gets all the glory, right? Well, then the inevitable question came up. Well, if God predestines some, because we know not everybody's saved, I mean, that's clear, but so if God predestines some to salvation, that means He predestines others to damnation. That would be called double predestination. Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? If some are chosen or predestined, that means others are not. Yeah. But I think people have a very wrong definition of double predestination. Many people believe, okay, again, God works saving faith in the heart of a person whom He's predestined so that that person is made alive, able to repent of his or her sins and trust in Christ. So God provides that saving faith. And we agree with that, right? But a lot of people think in the same way God works evil in the heart of those not chosen for salvation so that they will not be saved. That's wrong. That is wrong. God is not the author of evil. God would never work evil, you know, in somebody. No. Yes, God positively acts to work saving faith in the heart of those whom He has chosen. Yes, has to do that because they're dead, right? They would never choose Him. So yes, God positively works that saving faith. But God doesn't positively inject evil and rejection into a person. No. God simply lets those people go where their wicked sin nature wants them to go, which is away from God. God didn't work evil in them. They already have evil in them. God didn't make them reject Him. They already have an inherent nature that rejects Him. So God simply said, you know what? You want nothing to do with me? Okay. Here, go enjoy yourself. I don't know. Doesn't sound like God's being mean there, is it? They're already running from the light, right? I mean, John chapter 3, you know, the passage, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How great is that? In the same context, it says, but men, verse 19, even though the light has come into the world, men loved darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. So you see it? By not predestining some, God's not working evil in them to cause them to reject him. They already have it there. They want nothing to do with him. And guess what? God simply lets them go where they want to go, away from the light. That's double predestination. God works saving faith in those whom he's elected. Has to, because they could never choose him. God simply passes over. Is he being mean? Is he forcing them? No. He's actually letting them do what they want to do. Oh, that doesn't sound so mean. Can't blame God. And you can't take credit for the fact you were saved. It's all of God's grace. And so I know that this topic probably raised 1,000 other questions. Not a problem. Please feel free to send me questions on this topic. I'll teach on this as long as you want to. We'll go through everywhere in the scriptures. You can email me at vuksic, V-U-K-S-I-C, at gospelonthego.com. And send your questions, and I'll do my best to answer them via video. Understand, my answers will always come from the scriptures, and I'll never try to convince you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. I want to show you the different views. I want to show you what scripture says. And then really, I'll trust in God to show you what he meant by that which he said. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.